for a worship pastor in general, walking in humility is, it's an ever-going journey.
Yeah.
It's something that the enemy is always going to be tempting you with. It's something that everyone, no matter what your position, no matter what your walk in life, you're going to be dealing with the pride of life. We cannot meet everyone's need. We are not God. We are human, yet we have God-given compassion. We have God-given desire to minister to people and help people. It's the Holy Spirit that's doing the ministering and not us. And so we can't beat ourselves up about the fact that we can't do everything for everyone, because it's the Holy Spirit that's going to be able to do that for people.
What's up, everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of Worship Fuel. My name is Matt McCoy. I'm the host of the Worship Fuel show and the founder of loopcommunity.com. And today, I'm really excited to interview John Dreher from Faith Worship Arts. He's a worship pastor down in Florida, leader of Faith Worship Arts, and we're going to talk about their new music and what's going on down there in Florida at their church. I'm really excited about this conversation. So let's go ahead and bring in John Dreher now. John, how's it going?
Hey, it's going well, man. How's it going there?
Very good. Good to see you. Thanks for taking the time to have this conversation. You are the worship pastor at your church and you're leading up Faith Worship Arts. And I want to talk about all this stuff. We've got worship leaders here watching this. And give us just an idea of, like, how did you start leading worship? And when did you become a part of Faith Worship Arts?
Well, I started leading worship pretty young. You know how it is growing up in church. As soon as they get you involved and figure out what your gifts and talents are, they try to get you plugged in as early as possible. And so I was directing my youth choir around the age of 16. I'd already started kind of being a part of the youth worship team at that point as well. And so got my start pretty early. Didn't go into full-time worship leading until about 2007. And so I hope that's not dating me too much, but showing my age a little bit.
Were you a pastor's kid?
I was not a pastor's kid, but I was the kid of someone who probably would have considered themselves a pastor.
I don't know if that makes sense. And you were, so you were just there though all the time. Yeah, you were in the church.
Absolutely.
Always there. Yep.
Absolutely.
And you started in youth ministry, doing youth band.
Yep.
Cool.
And so, you know, in my context, I grew up in Georgia, and so we didn't really have a youth band so much going on, but we did have, like, you know, I remember when I was really young, I was a part of the Rosebud Choir, which was like the little kids' choir. And then we had, I was more of a choir generation coming up when I was coming up in Georgia. But then on that, the worship team, when the worship team started becoming really more popular in our particular demographic in the 90s, I got a chance to be a part of that. And so, grew up in church, got, you know, really serious about the call on my life when I was in college and kept going from there. And I now have been here at Faith Assembly, my church in Orlando, for the last 10 years.
Wow, 10 years. That's awesome. What church were you at before that?
Before that, I was at a church in Columbus, Georgia, called Kingdom Metropolitan Worship Center. And you know, whenever you have a long name for a church like that, it's got some real Holy Ghost fire.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Is Faith Assembly, is that related at all to the Faith Assembly that's in San Diego, California? Like, is that a part of a denomination or an association of churches?
We're an Assemblies of God church.
Assemblies of God. Okay. Yeah.
So there are several assemblies across the nation. We're a faith assembly in Orlando, kind of like, you know, you'll have First Baptists all over the nation and things like that, you know.
Yeah. Awesome. So what started, like, this idea? What caused you and your church to want to start releasing your own original music? Like, how did that even begin?
Well, we have quite a few creatives on our staff here. And so writing music and coming up with arrangements and things like that is something that we kind of naturally gravitated towards. When I came on staff here, you know, they were already writing music and things like that, but we hadn't quite started putting out music or recording music for, you know, the greater body of Christ to partake in. And so, you know, we really felt like we had something special going as we, you know, started to collaborate together and not just write on our own terms. And as we did so, you know, we felt like there were songs that were going to be a blessing to our congregation. We talked to our pastors about them and, you know, they let us kind of, you know, see how they work in our congregation. here, and they worked really well. We expressed a desire to, you know, take it even further. And so they let us start, you know, recording some songs, putting them out and things like that. But over the last, I want to say 5 years or so, we actually had a pastoral transition. Our senior pastor retired after being the senior pastor here for about 35 years. And the pastor that took over was actually the youth pastor here for about 20 years. And so a lot of history here. But he has been really passionate about worship ministry and seeing what God wanted to do through us and through this worship ministry. And so, you know, he kind of put resources behind us and just gave us the room to dream. And as we did that, you know, we felt like these songs could be a blessing to people outside of this church, and really wanted to put some steam behind it. And so God has blessed us in those endeavors.
You know, I'm thinking about, you know, a lot of worship leaders are probably at a church where they have creatives and maybe they are writing songs and they've maybe started even playing those at their church. How did you guys go, though, from playing them at your church to like then taking a step to record them? Like, how did you find someone to produce it, or how did you actually go to make the recordings?
Really, I mean, very intentionally and with a lot of trial and error. I mean, almost all of our production was done in-house, or has been done in-house. And this is our fourth full-length album that we're doing now in the last 10 years. And you know, we've done everything in-house. Thankfully, our sanctuary is set up for a multi-track recording already through our live stream and all that kind of stuff. So we didn't have to figure out, you know, bringing in a rig to make that happen. And, you know, we wrote our songs. We put out that first record. We learned our lessons. We wrote some more songs, put out another record, learned some lessons.
Did you guys self-produce the album, the first one?
Yep, self-produced. Wow, and so, you know, we've grown together as a team. And as we've grown, you know, the process has gotten much better. So I've always been a firm believer in, you know, maximize what you have in your hand. Kind of like, you know, the Moses model. You know, what do you have in your hand? Well, I got a staff. Well, that's what we're going to use. And so, you know, I had a keyboardist on staff who, you know, liked to produce and, you know, was a decent producer. Well, we used him. And then, you know, now he's grown to be one of our main producers for all of our projects and all of our things. And so, you know, that's what I would say to any church out there that's even thinking about getting into that. Is you know, make the most of what you've got. Don't be afraid to try something with the tools that you have, and even, you know, even if it's not what you might consider to be industry standard or whatever at the first go around, you're going to learn some lessons that are going to get you there. That's what happened with us.
Yeah, that's good to hear. I was going to ask, if you had any advice for another church who maybe wanted to release their own music. You know, maybe they're playing it at their church, but how do they actually go to like record it and release it?
Yeah, well, for us, I mean, we had to press record on our worship services, you know. But I mean, obviously, there's the technical aspect of things. You have to have, you know, the right rig and then enough inputs and all that kind of stuff. But once you have, you know, the technical part down and you've got the songs written, you have, you know, the gear in place to capture those songs, then. You know, you just got to go for it, and you have to, you know, press beyond the fear and press beyond maybe perfectionism of it, you know, and you know, go for it.
What song do you think has been the most impactful that you guys have released, you know, over those four projects?
So far, there's a song called Greater Things that we've released, and we've gotten just a ton of feedback over the years on that particular song. When you think, you know, spins and all that kind of stuff. I mean, we've,
you
know,
that's the hit.
Yeah. That's, hit quotation marks, but, it's the one that's gone the farthest since we've, you know, started this process. And that was off of our first record. We had no idea that, you know, it would be as impactful. I mean, I can remember after we, put out that song, within, 3 or 4 months of that being out, there was a conference, that was, doing that song with 35,000 young people there. It was like the whole denomination's, you know, big conference they were doing. And so, You know, we had no idea that that was, you know, what was going to be happening for us, but it was like I stepped out in faith and that's what happened.
Yeah. Isn't that wild? You never know where God's going to take a song.
Absolutely.
What does songwriting look like at your church right now?
So right now, we're really intentional about gathering together in groups and doing collaborative songwriting. So we'll have designated nights on sometimes designated days where we'll bring together, 15 to 20 of our, teammates. We'll break off into groups of four or so. And in that room, we'll have a producer and we'll have a lead writer, and then we'll have two or three other additional writers in that room. Their task is for the next 4 hours to come out of that room with a song written. And when we think about the song structure, just at minimum, a verse one, a chorus, and a bridge, something that we can at least build off of if we want to in the future. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times, in those 4 hours, because we have a producer in the room and we have a lead writer in the room and we have those ideas flowing, we'll come out with, 4 or 5 songs in one of those nights, fully written.
Yeah. That's awesome. And you guys are writing right now for another project. I know you guys just released a song called Good to Me. So maybe before we talk about what's next, tell us about the song you guys just released.
Okay, so the song Good to Me that we just released, it's a song that's kind of loosely based off of Psalms 23. And it's just the end of that, where surely the goodness and mercy of the Lord are following us all the days of our lives, and we'll dwell in this house forever, right? And so we were writing that song. We were in one of those groups, like I was talking about. We had a producer, and I was the lead writer in that room. And the producer had this sample. And he was playing it with like an kind of like an Afrobeats type vibe. We didn't end up going with Afrobeats in the end, but there was a sample, and it sounded like it was saying "Good to me, good to me," and so that kind of sparked some of the ideas that we had going on, and so we actually ended up going back into the session and looking at the sample. The sample actually was not saying "good to me." He had pitched it up so much and messed with it so much, but the actual original sample was saying "haunted, haunted." So obviously, we don't believe any ghosts around here except the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
It was cool because we were so focused on the goodness of God and how good that He'd been to us, and that's what we ended up going with. And so, since His goodness and His mercy is following us all the days of our lives, with when we're looking over our shoulders and not, it's kind of like we're being haunted by the goodness of God. So we're cool with that too.
Oh, that's cool. So you left the sample in there?
Yeah. Well, we did some modifications and made sure that people were actually hearing "Good to Me."
Right. Oh, that's awesome, man. On a typical Sunday morning, how many of the songs in your worship set are your own songs versus like covers, like other popular worship songs?
Yeah, on a typical Sunday, it would be somewhere between 25% and 50%. So usually we'll have at least one song. If we're doing 4 songs on a Sunday, one of those songs will be something original that's kind of caught wind in our church, something that's been really ministering in our church. And then if we're trying to introduce something new, then maybe we'll add another one in those weekly services.
How often do you think you guys introduce a brand new song to your church?
A brand new song from us or a brand new song in general?
Maybe just in general. I'm curious like how you guys are introducing new songs to your church.
In general, I try to introduce at least one new song a month, just to keep, keep the ball rolling. Yeah. get stuck in one place. But I try to introduce at least one new song a month.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm throwing a lot of curveball questions at you that are semi-unrelated. I'm curious though, how often is there a brand new song that you introduce at your church that you introduce it? Cause you think like, all right, this is going to be a great song for a church to sing, and you introduce it and it like totally flops and you're like, yeah, we're never doing that song again.
Oh yeah. I mean, I feel like that.
Does that happen either often?
It does happen everywhere, or it should happen everywhere.
Yeah.
Sometimes we just pressing that song in. Not the one, it's happened to us. Because we've because we're, you know, ingrained in the culture of our church and, you know, try to stay abreast of what's happening in the body of Christ in general, we don't have it happen often. But yeah, there's absolutely times where we'll sing a song and, you know, we think it's going to go one way and, you know, the oil has dried up on that one.
Right. And it can go the other way around too, where like maybe like pastor asks you to sing a song that you're like, this is horrible. We're not doing this, but you have to do it. And then you do it and like the room like ignites, you know, people are just totally in. You just never know how a song is going to translate.
Absolutely. And that's happened. Now that has happened more times than us introducing a new song and it flopping. What has happened more time is me specifically, Pastor John, not wanting to do a song. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I'm the one that missed the Holy Spirit on that one. You know, playing the humility card, saying, okay, you know, if this is what you want, we'll go for it. Da, 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 we go for it. And the Holy Spirit goes crazy on it, you know?
Yeah. And you have to have the humility to be able to let a song go. If it doesn't work, if it's not flying, but it just happens to be a song that you personally like, and maybe it works for you, but it's not working for everyone else, you have to, as a leader, have the humility to just let it go. Be like, hey, move on, next song. Let's find something that's going to really serve our congregation.
Yeah, and not just even the song, like even a moment, like, because there are some songs where you just feel like, okay, this is a song we're going to linger on for a while. I just know the Holy Spirit's going to do something incredible in this. And if the work has been done, or if, you know, if the Lord is speaking something else in that moment, you got to be able to move to the next place. Or even if your pastor feels like he has something on his heart for that moment, like, we have to be able to step back and say, okay, it's not about what we want. It's about what God wants in this moment. And if God has decided to have pastor interrupt the whole set and, you know, come and do something different, then I'm for what God wants in that moment, you know?
Yeah. Right. So what is happening right now with Faith Worship Arts? Like, what's next? What are you guys focused on?
So right now we've got our single Good to Me that's out right now. Obviously, we are getting ready for Easter, we're gearing up for the release of our full length album, which is going to be called Fill This House. That's going to come out April 3rd. And so we're really excited about that.
What a great title. I love that. Is it a live album?
It's majority live. So we have an event, or we have a service at our church every year called Worship Weekend. And that's generally where we do the bulk of our recording every weekend. That weekend is totally focused on full worship. We'll have, you know, a short word that, you know, is just encouraging people on how and why and we worship the Lord. But generally we'll worship the entire service and we'll record on those. And so this last one was in September. We recorded the bulk of our songs there. But then we also have a few alternate versions of some of the live songs, some studio versions that people can, you know, kind of listen to and enjoy as well.
That's awesome. I can't wait to hear it. You've been leading for 10 years. Well, no, you've been leading longer, but you've been on staff at this church for 10 years. Yeah. What would you say is like the hardest part about being a worship pastor? Like, what would you say that is something that is challenging that most people maybe wouldn't know, you know, when they're like seeing you up on stage and leading worship, or like what they don't know about like the worship pastor position and, you know, the responsibility of that?
Yeah. Well, I would say it depends on the season or the phase that I'm in. For a worship pastor in general, you know, walking in humility is just, it's an ever going journey. It's an ever going journey. It's something that the enemy is always going to be tempting you with. It's something that everyone, no matter what your position, no matter what your walk in life, you're going to be dealing with, the pride of life, and those things. But especially when you're in such a visible position and having to lead people, it's really important that we maintain a walk in humility. And because it's so important, that's a place that we're attacked viciously, you know, very often. But then I feel like an internal struggle of mine as a pastor, and I think this is not just worship pastors, but pastors in general, is the fact that we cannot meet everyone's need. We cannot we are not God. We are human, and yet we have God-given compassion. We have God-given desire to minister to people and help people. And the fact that we don't have the capacity to answer every question correctly or get everything right for everybody or fix everyone's problems or minister to every person exactly where they are. Back to that humility piece, that we have to remember that it's the Holy Spirit that's doing the ministering and not us. And so we can't beat ourselves up about the fact that we can't do everything for everyone because it's the Holy Spirit that's going to be able to do that for people.
Yeah, right, right. That's a good word. If you were just like sitting down with like a young worship leader who's just getting started, you know, you're sitting over coffee with a 16-year-old who's like, hey, I want to like do what you're doing. Is there any advice you'd give them?
Yes. I mean, we can beat this dead horse a little more, but learn to walk in humility, man.
Humility. Like, yeah. That's a big one, man. I know.
It's the one, you know, it's better to be asked up than to be asked down. Yeah. You know,
that's a horse to keep beating. Honestly, it's always going to come up. You're in a position too that is not set up totally for success in that regard. Like it just makes it hard. I mean, you are like on stage, there's lights pointing at you. You've got a microphone, everyone's looking at you. And that is such an easy place for the enemy to start sneaking in lies, being like, hey,
absolutely.
You guys sound great. And you know what I mean? Like all sorts of things like, mm-hmm. that you start making it because of you.
Absolutely. And when you start making it because of you, I mean, your highs are because of you, your lows are because of you.
Yeah.
You know, you start dwelling in your failures, you start dwelling in the times that you missed it, the things that didn't go right, and now, you know, an entire career is derailed because you put so much stock in yourself. You know, it's a spiral that you can't get out of if you're not walking in humility. It's so important to us here at our church that that is one of the core values that we have for all of our staff, all of our ministers. It's like a right to play. You cannot play on this team if you can walk in humility.
Yeah. And I feel like if you don't learn that, and if you don't really practice it and attempt to clean out pride out of your life, you know, pride comes before downfall, you know, like God will take you out of that position, you know, like, and so it's just so important. It's vital for any sort of worship leader to have, to be thinking about that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And man, thankfully we have a merciful and gracious God who's picked me up several times, you know, but I'm praying and hoping that I won't fall as many times, you know, on this road, you know? And so that's what I would tell that 16-year-old.
Yeah, right. I know. And it'll be a weekly fight, but you got to be taking just steps forward and striving for humility. I love that. That's a great word, man. Well, I appreciate you taking the time to have this conversation with us and sharing your wisdom. And I want every worship leader to go check out Good to Me. We've got the tracks. I think we have the chord charts up at Loop Community and Song Select and CCLI. So everybody go check those out. Listen to the song wherever you listen to music and check out everything else from Faith Worship Arts. I want to listen to that other song you were talking about too. Greater Things.
Awesome.
That's what it was called, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yep. All right. Go check out that song too. Man, thanks for taking the time. John, great to meet you. God bless. Great to meet
you. Thank you so much.
All right, guys. Great conversation with John Dare there from Faith Worship Arts. Make sure you go check out all their music wherever you listen to music. We have the tracks and charts up at Loop Community and on Song Select, CCLI. And just really appreciate what they're doing for the kingdom. So thank you, John, for taking the time. Make sure you hit the subscribe button to stay tuned for future shows. And we will see you next time.